This is podtech.net. I'm Michael Johnson. We're here in New Orleans, in Louisiana, here on the occasion of the Educational Writers Association 2006 conference, which is down here taking a very interesting, I think, look at the situation in New Orleans and also the larger situation around education. And I'm joined by Richard Whitmire, who is with USA Today, an education writer there, and also is with the Educational Writers Association. What's your role with them, Richard?
Well, I'm the secretary of the board, which actually means very little. I don't take too many notes. But the board members decide what the theme of the national meeting is going to be.
Now, what's the theme of this particular conference, and why is it taking place in New Orleans?
We chose to come to New Orleans before Katrina, and we thought about backing out and going to another city, but our members made it very clear to us that they wanted us to stay here in New Orleans.
Now, one of the things, we just came out of a keynote speech by Craig Barrett of Intel talking about technology and its role in education and also the role of, I think, math and sciences and technology education in the U.S. Now, what kinds of issues have you been writing about, and what's your take on that particular situation?
Well, we have written on this issue, primarily from the National Academy of Sciences report, which Craig Barrett was part of, suggesting that the U.S. is losing its edge in math and science, and this is related in part to education, which is what made it so relevant to us. So we were attracted to that as an issue, and the fact that that issue, that angle of the issue, has been adopted so quickly by Congress, and not just by the Republicans in Congress, but by the Democrats as well. So it's very powerful. You don't see a new education agenda set very often, and you certainly don't see one adopted so quickly.
Now, one of the things that I know that George Bush, when first running, said they was the education president. Now, have you seen, I'm not to take a particular political point of view, but over the last number of years, and given the situations that have come up as well in world politics and geopolitics, what have you seen as far as real progress in that area, or has there been any?
Well, almost everything on the Bush agenda has been No Child Left Behind, which was and is a unique effort to put some teeth in some standards, which is why it's rattled so many cages and left so many people unhappy. So I have seen some progress in No Child Left Behind in identifying failing schools, but now it's come to the crunch time with No Child Left Behind, and we have a lot of failing schools that we've identified, and nobody's real sure what to do with them.
What are you writing about currently when it comes to education? What is USA Today covering? Or what's your particular interest in education in the United States?
Well, I write opinion pieces. I write for the editorial page. So my pieces are unbylined, and they are the consensus of the editorial page. Now, in this case, with math and science, we've essentially embraced the side of Congress and the business leaders. We say that there is real evidence of a slippage in math and science skills, and that there is cause for alarm. And that position is not necessarily the consensus out there, at least among educators.
What do you think, where's that gap, or where does that gap come from? There's certainly been talk about the media's role in educating, in educating people about these kinds of issues and bringing them forward, but it seems like there's a real perception gap that's pretty serious.
I agree, and I don't pretend to have the entire answer to it. I do know that there's a lot of resistance coming from the education community, primarily from teachers' colleges, saying that we are doing a perfectly adequate and better than adequate job with math and science, and all you have to do is look at the business edge that the U.S. enjoys in this. And they also think that international testing, which suggests that U.S. students are not doing as well, is skewed and is judged unfair. And so they argue that this is not the problem that it's being made out to be. And in part, I think their defensiveness lies in a broader defensiveness about attacks on schools, just saying the schools are inadequate, and this is just a new way to say the schools are inadequate. So that's part of the objection.
Well, it seems like we've had these systems running for quite some time that have been, some people feel it's been part of just basically warehousing kids for many years, and it came something that came out of the industrial, the industrial revolution, and so, the paradigm has to change a little bit. What's your feeling about that?
Well, I think it does, and I think it's so clear, especially within minority communities. In California now, it's majority-minority. And so, for example, if we're going to have people out in industry who are competitive, we have to have more minorities making it to college, choosing math and science majors, and then persisting in those math and science majors. And women as well, I might add. We have a lot of very well-educated high school seniors, female, arriving in college, perhaps declaring a math-science major, and then stepping aside from that and choosing something else after a year or so. And that's intriguing. It's a mystery. I can't explain it, but it is cause for concern.
Where do you think that the inspiration is going to come to kind of turn the ship? Because it is a really almost total mindset change that needs to happen here in the U.S. about education and about the realities of it as well. I mean, it's one of the things that Craig Barrett was bringing up, which I know many people agree with, is that we are, you know, it's a losing investment. We're not, you know, putting the proper investment in the folks that are supposed to carry, you know, us and carry the country into the future. And if we hope to continue to enjoy the status as being one of the top nations in the, you know, in the world as far as technology development goes.
Well, I wish I could be more optimistic, but frankly, I'm not sure where that spark's going to come from, because when parents are surveyed about this and they're asked, you know, about the level of math and science instruction that their students, their sons and daughters receive, they say it's perfectly adequate. So if it's not going to come from the parents, and it's not necessarily going to come from the school districts, which are feeling, you know, stung by criticism and therefore resisting, frankly, I'm not sure where it's going to come from. It would have to come from losing market share, if you will, and jobs. And I think it might come to that before there's a turnaround.
What's the charge that you put out to your members of the Educational Writers Association? I mean, see, there's a number of award-winning articles that are posted up in the main conference room there. What do you ask your writers to do as far as, or don't ask them to do anything, but what's your hope that, because it seems like this is where some of the leadership is certainly going to come from. It's going to come from the media sources in order to open up ideas, open and present that marketplace of ideas to people.
Well, our organization is such that we can't really dictate to our members. We can, as a board, say that this is a real issue. We've made this judgment by making this the focus of it. But at the same time, we, being members of the press, we have to present both sides. So there are speakers right now in there who are presenting the other side, saying that, for example, that these international comparisons are unfair and things are actually better than what, for example, Dr. Barrett would describe. We have to present both sides, but simply by the fact that we've chosen to present this makes this an agenda, if you will, for reporters from Columbus or Poughkeepsie or Reno. You know, they'll see the both sides of the debate. They'll be able to look at their local school districts and think of ways to measure how their local school districts are doing in math and science. And frankly, Craig Barrett was very helpful in that, because he would suggest ways for them to take a fresh look.
And technology, again, getting back to the role of technology in all of this, where do you see that sort of fitting into the picture? I mean, we've heard some very inspiring stories about what technology can do. We're going to be looking at one of the local parishes and talking about what Intel is doing to help them rebuild. Do you think it is going to be the great panacea, or is it just going to be another tool out there which may be used or abused or ignored?
Oh, I'd go for the latter. I mean, it'll just be one tool out of many, and I'm not that... I don't see technology as a panacea, and neither does Craig Barrett. He made that clear. That, you know, he's not into. They're not spending. Intel's not spending $100 million a year to sell more computers. You know, I mean, he sees this as important. And frankly, I mean, he sees this, and he posed this actually today in terms of his own grandchildren. He sees the world getting flat, and it's just a matter of how long the U.S. can put this off. In other words, can we tilt the flatness, if you will, to hold out a little longer with that edge? And I think that was kind of startling for some of the reporters to hear. Somebody like, you know, Craig Barrett saying, wow, you know, this is you can only do so much here.
Well, it's been great having you on the podcast today. Richard Whitmire is a writer, educational writer for USA Today, writes the op-ed pieces there, and is also the secretary of the Educational Writers Association. And we've been speaking at their conference here in New Orleans, and an appropriate place, I think, to talk about these issues. And it's been great having you on the podcast today.
Well, thank you.